Hello, everybody. Dr. Lonnie Stewart here from the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. Are you a physical therapy student about to start studying for the National Physical Therapy Examination? Or maybe you're a professor, a program director, or a clinical instructor who teaches DPT students preparing for the NPTE? Either way, we would recommend checking out our sponsor, NPTE Final Frontier, and the community they've built around preparing for and succeeding on the NPTE. That exam and the preparation that goes along with it can be long, tedious, difficult, and stress-inducing, but it doesn't have to be. NPTE Final Frontier has the tactics and resources to help address all of the usual barriers. They even have scholarships to help with NPTE study courses, FSBPT registration fees, and even research opportunities. And if that's not enough, they're even donating to the very first annual HET Podcast Scholarship to be awarded at the end of every year. Go to npteff.com for all of the details and use code HET for 10% off all purchases. Links to both the NPTE Final Frontier and their scholarship options are available in the show notes. And now, let's get ready to learn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. F. Scott Feel, and I've got someone with me today who I have admired for a long time from afar. Dr. Carmen Cooper Oguz. Carmen, tell us a little bit about your academic journey and how it's led you to where you are today.
Oh, Dr. Field, thank you for having me on the show, and I appreciate your patience in getting me scheduled. So my transformation and trajectory has been anything but ordinary. You know, I had a few role models within my family to look up to as it pertains to healthcare. My dad was a hospital administrator and a licensed social worker. My mother was a medical laboratory technologist. Both of my older brothers, even during high school, had taken classes to be a basic EMT. And my older brother went on to be a commercial pilot and a flight instructor. And my other brother was an occupational therapist. And he's the one that kind of pushed me in the direction of physical therapy when I got accepted to both occupational therapy school and physical therapy school. He said, there can only be one OT in the family, one PT, and I'm the OT already. So there you go. There's your answer. So truer, wiser words were never spoken. I am indeed the physical therapist in the family, and it's a career that I've enjoyed, less like a job because I'm doing what I love. It's really never felt like a job a day in my life. So I think that's what compels people to get into volunteer work, because they really like what they do clinically, or if it's educationally, if they teach in programs, they like what they do, and they have a little gas left in the tank at the end of the day to volunteer and put themselves out there. So it's a little bit about my background.
Yeah. So the main reason that we wanted to have you on the podcast for so long, and the main reason that we've been able to, you know, make the schedule as adjustable as we can so that we could get you on, is because you do so many things. I mean, that's one of the reasons I've looked up to you for so long. I thought I was busy and active and trying to get involved, but you take it to a whole new level. I mean, you do so many things. So tell us a little bit about all the positions you hold and the things you do in the world of not just physical therapy, but in life in general.
I think my motto now is I had my head in the sand as a physical therapy student. I didn't feel like I was much of a contributor. As you know, we've got physical therapy and physical therapist assistant students who are brilliant these days, and they were probably very brilliant back in my day. But I would not have counted myself amongst them, because to me, physical therapy school was very difficult. I, like maybe many others, had a hard time. I breezed through high school. I breezed through my undergraduate and my master's degrees in business, but physical therapy school was harder. I had never had to take a science class in college a day in my life. You know, it was a big challenge for me. But then once I got out of school and I got my clinical career under my belt, I said, I think I've got the hang of this. I started picking up extra jobs, and I was working every day of the week, even Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, seven on, seven off, but seven on, seven on. And once I rode those opportunities to the end, because I knew that they wouldn't last forever, I still had to keep myself busy. So I found ways to volunteer. And my first volunteer job came with me reaching out to, now it's the Mississippi chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. So that's where I got my start, eventually became a delegate, then a chief delegate. And boy, once I got a taste of the House of Delegates and met all the incredible people in my profession who I'd only heard about and definitely aspired to be, I was hooked. You know, the Kool-Aid, I was drinking it every day, all day. And it just inspired me. The people inspired me. The work inspired me. My student loans were paid back. I was in a position where I could help. I was sustaining my family financially. And there was just so many other things that I could do with my time. And to be quite honest, I like to get involved so much. I don't say no to many things when it comes to helping people or helping the profession out. And unbeknownst to me, everything that I said yes to led to a bigger yes and a bigger yes. And I was building a resume before I knew it. And then once you've got that resume built, even greater opportunities are offered to you. One being, I'm on the hospital outpatient payment panel with CMS. I am a grants reviewer for the Health Resources Services Administration. And those are appointments, and you don't get those or come by those very easily. So I've had some supporters, a lot of supporters along the way, but like most of your listeners, you know, I've put in the work, I've put in the time. So I don't regret any of it. As I look back, there are still some things on my plate that I like to do. I do medical expert work with attorneys. And again, being a credible expert witness, especially in the field of healthcare, that's a revered place to be, a revered position. And something I'll tell your listeners, not too many people know about this. I wanted to go to law school. Since I was a little girl, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, a corporate attorney at that. But when I graduated so early with my bachelor's degree in business, I was only, I believe, 20. And then I got my master's degree just shy or right about 22. I don't think I was mature enough to go to law school. I wasn't ready. So now I feel like I've come full circle. I am scratching that itch with my medical expert witness work, but I still get the benefit and the joy that comes with being a clinical physical therapist. And one last thing, I'll take a breath after this, I promise. I tell you, like being in the Peace Corps, working to develop two physical therapist assistant programs was the toughest job I'll ever love. And I learned more about the behind the scenes work. I was once a student. It was difficult. I had to work harder than all the other students, and I didn't understand the whys behind the things that we did. But when I got into developing the two physical therapist assistant programs, more light bulbs came on. And, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and light bulbs are still going off for me. And I appreciate every day that I don't know everything and that I can learn something new. So anything but traditional.
A lot to unpack there. First off, I, very much like you, was non-traditional. I was an English major before I became a physical therapist, before
Love
I
it.
Get my educational doctorate, right? And so I think a lot of my why and the reason I don't say no to things often, the reason I like to do and be involved in so many things is because I have a very diverse skill set that goes back to high school even, right? Like breezed through high school, breezed through college pretty much as an English major, and then got to grad school and didn't know what the heck I was doing because it was more science and math based, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I threw my ego aside. I said, I know I'm going to need help. And that's just where it started. And so I started asking for help. And the more help I got, the more I felt like I could help people with other things. And that just kind of grew and spiraled. And all of a sudden, now I'm getting these opportunities that are way outside of my realm of comprehension half the time. But if they feel like I can contribute something to that, well, then I'm going to do my best to try and say yes and contribute, you know? But like you said, the problem with doing good work and being really good at what you do is they just give you more work. You get more opportunities and they just keep saying, well, hey, you were great at this. Could you do this? You know? And so I guess my big question for you then next is really, how do you manage all of these things? Because I mean, again, from business to healthcare to, you know, being on all these boards and committees and you know, the volunteerism and all that. plus you're a mom, right? Like, how do you manage all this? How do you juggle all these things? I think that's really our theme for today is how does somebody who wants to do all the things and say yes to all the things manage those things?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question, because I'll tell you this, like most anything else in life, getting good at things, it requires a lot of practice. I couldn't do what I do today back in the beginning. It's a gradual ramping up. It's a honing your skill of organization. It's learning to know yourself and your mental and physical capacity. It's learning how to balance your desire to do these extracurricular things outside of your primary job, which already takes you away from your family, and then going home to balance your family life and driving that school bus to all the kids' activities per se. So I will tell you this, I've got a supportive spouse. I know I've told him, and a lot of people do know that. They've seen him. My husband's from Istanbul, Turkey. We raised two sons who I'm now an empty nester. My younger son has gone to college. But he would take them to Turkey and take them on these extended summer trips, where, as in my position, I didn't have the summer off. I would have to stay home and work. So he was an incredible support system to me. He knew that I was driven as a professional and just as a person in general. He was a good caretaker, is a good caretaker of our children. And without the support from others, including family and spouses and people who you surround yourself on a daily basis, your friends, your coworkers, and even the administrative team with which you work, the almost the stars have to align, which more or less they've done for me. I've been very particular with who I've surrounded myself with, and the opportunities have just really, I'm forever grateful for the opportunities that I've gotten and the respect for me, for the work that I love to do. I've been given that creative freedom. So it's not always come without a cost, but it has always come with support from those people that I care about.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack there as well, because I feel like, one, yes, it is a process. Everything that you do is a process, right? It's a work in progress, just like we are, right? We should never necessarily be just like happy or content at where we're at. We all strive to be lifelong learners. I think that's part of being a physical therapist or even being in the healthcare field. But also you need that support system. You know, the only way that I've gotten to where I'm at is through the support of my family, right? Of my mom and dad and my brother and you know, my wife. I could not have gotten anywhere without my wife. And that's, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom, takes care of the kids, and her job is 1,000 times harder than mine. I agree 100% wholeheartedly. Like, I could not have gotten where I am without the support of the family and having some sort of support system, you know, and that looks different for everybody, but I think it needs to be there. And if it's not, you need to seek it out.
Yes. And I want to touch on something that you said, and you said that you ask for help. People ask for help along the way, and I asked for help along the way. And once I became the person who was helped, because it's totally okay to ask, then I became the person that offered the help without being asked. Because some people are never going to ask you. You know, they're probably highly capable people. Maybe they're too proud. Maybe they're intimidated. You don't ever know what their situation is, but I was not afraid to ask. I'm still not afraid to ask, but I'm also not afraid to be that person who is proactive and offer my help, offer my resources. I've had people to do that to me along the way. And oftentimes those are the difference makers. They reach out to you because they've noticed something in you, and they offer their help or their resources, or they say, hey, maybe you should apply for this position, or you should be on this committee. People like that can be game changers.
And now for a quick shout out to our newest sponsor, Varela Financial. If you're a physical therapist and you have student loan debt, you got to talk to these guys. What makes them unique is that they view financial planning like running hurdles on a track. And for PTs, the first hurdle many of us run into is student loan debt. Varela Financial will help you get over that hurdle. They not only take the time to explain to you which plans you individually qualify for and how those plans work, but they also take the time to show you what your individual case looks like, mapped out within each option. So if you're looking for help on your student loan debt or any area of personal finances, we recommend working with them. I use Varela Financial personally, and they were able to help me lower my student loan repayment from about $1,800 a month down to about $135 per month simply by finding the right repayment plan that best fit me, my family, and our life goals. You can check them out at VarelaFinancial.com. Link is in the show notes if you need it for reference, and tell them the HET podcast crew sent you. And now, back to the show. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could not agree more, because I'm lucky that I've never had an issue asking for help. I'm always, you know, trying to learn and trying to get better at things. And if I don't know, I'll ask, you know, and if I'm the smartest guy in the room, then I'm in the wrong room, right? I should be looking for other opportunities to learn from people. And I've learned from students, I've learned from mentors, I've learned from, you know, colleagues. I try to really, you know, impart on my students that, hey, every situation, every interaction should become some sort of opportunity to learn for you. You never know what, but, you know, there's a lot out there that you can learn from different people of all walks of life. So just take them all as experiences and opportunities to learn, you know? And
Yeah. You're speaking my language, because that was the gist of one of the keynote addresses that I gave to a physical therapy school in Mississippi. It's like, your life is like a ladder. You determine how many rungs are on your ladder. You determine, and only you determine, how high you want to climb your ladder. And don't ever let anybody put you in a box. Don't let them label you. Yes, you may be a physical therapist or a physical therapist assistant or whatever it is that you do, and that's fine. But if you choose to be, you could be a hospital administrator. You could be on the board of the American College Healthcare Executives, which is not a direct. We do have a partnership between the American Physical Therapy Association and the American College of Healthcare Executives, but so it's not necessarily physical therapy driven, but it is to a degree interdisciplinary driven. And when you can insert yourself as a physical therapist or a PTA and have a seat at all these different tables, it does nothing but enhance the profession and enhances you. When one boat rises, everybody's boat rises. So
that is such a great takeaway there, Carmen, because we just interviewed a CEO of a hospital who was a physical therapist not too long ago. And
very true.
I think that our profession needs to realize that these opportunities are out there for us, and we have every right to sit on those boards and you know, at those CEO level positions. And you know, we have the permission to do that because of our skill sets and because of our experiences in life and what we've kind of, you know, been able to do over the course of those years. And really, I think it's important to know that, you know, if you want to be a inspirational speaker, you could do that. If you want to be the CEO of a hospital, you can do that. You know, especially nowadays with the rising cost of education, physical therapists and PTAs need to recognize that, you know, our skill sets are pretty wide, right? We have a lot of options to be able to choose from. We just need to go after it.
That's right. That's right. And I will tell your listeners that it's not always been easy for me, because while I am a physical therapist, some people, even though healthcare administrators oftentimes, they don't even hold any type of clinical degree. They just maybe have a master's degree in business like I do, which, by the way, I'm also a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives, which means I passed a 6-hour exam to be an administrator or a CEO of a healthcare system. It's not always been easy, because people, if you let them, will say, oh, how could she be a CEO? She's just a physical therapist. And talk about grinding my gears right there, because yeah. I would argue and definitely submit that some of your better leadership in the healthcare environment is a clinical person who's been clinical in some capacity along the way. That's not always the case, but from what I've seen and experienced, it really, really helps to see both sides of things. You can be a bean counter, but also you have to know that sometimes your client and patient experiences and outcomes are more important than the beans you put in the bank.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us became physical therapists because we had, you know, some sort of interaction in physical therapy. Either we got injured and they helped us, or, you know, we saw a PT help a family member, whatever it may be. Living those experiences helped us become physical therapists. And then, you know, being on both sides of the coin helped us with patient care eventually, right? So certainly, the same thing kind of goes with hospital execs and healthcare executives. It's like, yeah, you could be a really great CEO and a bean counter, if you will. But at the same time, like having that compassion, having those lived experiences, having that, you know, patient experience and what you've been through, that can really help shape and form some of the things you do higher up when making those decisions. So
most definitely, most definitely.
Well, Carmen, I have another question for you here regarding, you know, let's say somebody is a go-getter. Let's say someone really wants to, you know, get involved and do all these things and say yes to all the opportunities, right? What kind of advice would you give to them if they just want to, you know, start getting involved and doing these things and increasing their network and, you know, adding to their enriched, you know, life and resume, so to speak?
Okay. The first step is to show up at your state or your chapter's events, the annual meeting, show up at national events, CMS, just make your presence known, socialize, express your interest via email, call your board members in your chapter, or maybe you're interested in being in a special interest group or one of the other components we have, like the orthopedic section or the pediatric academy. Things like that. That's how I started. Nobody can tell you when you're ready. You've got to know when you're ready. And you cannot expect anybody else but yourself to know when you're ready. So that being said, when I knew I was ready, I did exactly what I just advised everybody else to do. I reached out to the Mississippi chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. I said, hey, put me in, coach. I'm ready. You know, I've paid back my student loans. I've got some time on my hands. I want to contribute. Nobody knows that you're ready except you. No, people out there aren't a mind reader. And so every now and again, sometimes people may identify you as a person of interest in terms of being able to contribute to a certain cause. Heed their interest. They reached out to you for a reason. You might not have considered yourself ready, but somebody else saw something in you that identified you as being ready. That's happened to me on some occasions, especially in the world of Rotary International, service above self. So being a Rotarian, how that translates into being a healthcare provider and administrator, it really complements one another. So know when you're ready and reach out in the event that you don't have people around you just yet that can recognize your talent and your ability to contribute. And then be the person who identifies others as well. You know what kind of team member you want to be, and you know what kind of team member you'd like to have on your team. Don't just let it happen by chance. Go out and pick your own team members and let's, you know, row in the same boat in the same direction together.
Yeah, I love that takeaway because, yeah, it's nice to be picked and, you know, spotlighted and shown that, hey, you have the skills and what it takes. But it's also great to like highlight others and lift others up because, again, that to me, that makes me feel good. You know, like I've gotten to where I'm at. I'm pretty successful at this point. I feel good. I'm happy there. But like now I like actually putting the spotlight on others that are doing great things. Right. And that's why we kind of do this podcast, you know. We want to show the great things that people are out there doing. We want to spotlight and highlight these people that really need it. You know, that people need to see, hey, these are amazing people doing amazing things. This is the story that needs to be told, you know, so.
Right. And I think it's great what you're doing, because I think exactly the way you described it, it's exactly what it does. And you're so accomplished in your own right. You don't necessarily have to wake up and feel placated by anybody, but golly, I don't care how old you get, how accomplished you get, for somebody to come up and say some kind words to you, don't ever underestimate how kind words can make you feel. And even though you might have a mentor who's helped you along the way, don't ever think that, you know, 20 years later, you see them and you remembered what they did for you. Tell them thank you, uplift them. You might think, oh, they don't need to hear that for me. That would be almost condescending. You're absolutely wrong about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well spoken. Well, Carmen, we like to ask all of our guests this one final question. And that question is, if you could change one aspect of higher education, whether it be DPT or otherwise, what aspect would you change and how would you change it?
For starters, I would have eliminated like the GRE a long time ago, because if COVID taught us nothing, the GRE has been eliminated. Programs are still getting qualified candidates. So I'm not going to go so far as to suggest that that's a money grab. I'm sure that GRE and standardized tests of like have their validity and help in some ways. But I do feel like it may not be necessary on the whole to perpetuate that notion. I wish that they would have eliminated the LSAT back in the day. I did take the law school admission test one time. I did okay on it as a 19-year-old child, as I was. And I think I probably should have had somebody at the time advise me to take it again, but that's neither here nor there for the present conversation. But I do think that it's relevant to say it could be a deterrent, an unnecessary deterrent, especially in the age of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I haven't seen the studies, I'm sure they exist, about how valid those types of standardized tests are in terms of screeners. I don't know, but I just think it's unnecessary. You know, for me, and this may be similar to DPT programs. I've only been enrolled in one transitional DPT program because they only had a bachelor's degree available to me in Mississippi when I went to school. So I had to go back and get my DPT. I think that the variance among PhD programs, again, not just for PT school, ED programs, I'll give you an example that my older sister-in-law is going through right now. She could go to a local college and get some education for free to get her PhD, but it's like a 3 or 4 year program to get the same degree that this college down the road offers for less than half the hours. So how could that be? How could I get a PhD for 60 hours, but yet this other college just a few miles up the road requires 120 hours? What? That doesn't make sense to me. So that's a high variation. She went to the school that made her do 120 hours because my brother had a faculty tuition remission. So she had to put in a lot of extra work, but the trade-off was that she got it for free. So I think a lot of things can be looked at. Those are a couple of the things that come to mind. How can programs justify from one university to the next or one state to the next, why they require what they require? And then the standards or the steps you have to take, in my example, the GRE, to get there. I don't understand all that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, like you said, there's a lot of research out there now showing that, you know, it's not necessary to have some of these things in there. And unfortunately, healthcare in general, healthcare education and general education has become more and more and more of a business each day. And so a lot of it is a money grab. A lot of it is like, hey, there is no standards here, so we'll just make our own, you know? And it's like, well, how's that going to work in the long run here? How are we, you know, I think we're just, we're really adding to a lot of unnecessary stress and debt and then, you know, possible bubble about to burst in the higher education world. So hopefully we can get it figured out soon here, because if not, we're looking for, you know, a pretty dark future ahead. So
right. And if I had gone to law school, I could be that lawyer that could argue those points. And, you know, my family will tell you that my conspiracy theories and strategies are usually true and that I can debate with the rest of them. So I might have missed another calling. I could always go back. And we do know several physical therapists who are also lawyers. Yep. Either they were attorneys first and then went to PT school or vice versa. Man, oh man, that's my perfect world right there.
Yeah, awesome. Well, like you said, there's still time. You never know.
Yeah, you're right. In my spare time, I'll go.
Yeah, right. Well, Carmen, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come and talk to us and kind of educate the audience about how to juggle all these things that, you know, amount to usually great opportunities. Where can people find you or reach out to you if they just have questions or want to, you know, follow up with you and see what you're up to these days?
Thank you for asking that. I feel like I've always made myself available. I'm like Deion Sanders, a former coach of Jackson State University. I ain't hard to find. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. My email address is carmencooperoguz@gmail.com. I'm not hard to find. I made myself not hard to find intentionally. Telemarketers don't bother me. I don't owe anybody money. So, you know, there's no reason to not be available.
Awesome. Well, we'll drop all those links in the show notes so that people can find you. Carmen, thank you so much for all that you do for the profession. And like I said, thanks so much for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today.
Thank you for what you do. And thank you for your patience in getting me scheduled. I really, really do appreciate your professionalism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that episode was entertaining as much as it was informational and educational. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our past episodes, we ask you to please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. And please share out the episodes to those who you feel may be able to benefit from them. We also urge you to follow us on all social media platforms at HET Podcast and let us know what topics or experts you would like to hear from in future episodes. And just as a reminder, none of the information on today's show should be considered medical advice. It's simply infotainment or edutainment to help educate our audience. For medical advice, we always advise you to reach out to your preferred medical professionals, and we'll see you on the next show.